Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman on this hump day. Glad to be with you. Coming up next hour, Michael Heck joins us from GNO Inc. to talk about a coalition of several city and state agencies that have now executed two rounds of what they're calling quality of life sweeps in the French Quarter. They say the purpose is to address illegal activities that negatively impact the health, conditions, economic liveliness, and experience in the French Quarter for residents and visitors. Wow. Have you been to the French Quarter and seen things that you think negatively impact health conditions, economic liveliness, and the overall experience in the French Quarter? And what would you like to see these quality of life sweeps address in the French Quarter? We'll find out what they have been addressing and how much success they've been having, as well as much more from Michael Hecht coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. In the 12 o'clock hour, an interesting campaign that has been launched by the Office of Louisiana Economic Development. And they're going to highlight it during the LSU-USC football game Sunday night in Las Vegas through an ad campaign. The goal? To get displaced New Orleanians to come back home. What do you think it will take to convince people who have had to leave the state for jobs, for education, for other purposes, to come back and live in Louisiana once again? We can talk about that throughout the show. Coming up in just a moment, we are expecting the sheriff of Tangipahoa Parish, Gerald Sticker, been in office just shy of 2 months now, to join us, to talk to us here on WWL. And I understand we have the sheriff on the line now. Good morning, Sheriff Sticker. How you doing?
Good morning. Great. How are you?
Sheriff, are you there?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. You know, I think the last time I spoke to you was back in 2020 when you were Mandeville's police chief. But you and I have actually been interacting a lot over the last 28 years. You kind of joined the Mandeville Police about the time I came here to WWL. And then when you became public information officer, got to talk to you quite a bit over there. So it's good to talk to you again.
Absolutely. Yep. Good to talk to you as always, Dave. Thank you.
Congratulations on becoming sheriff. I enjoyed the Facebook post where at midnight on July 1st, they shared your very first radio interaction as sheriff.
Excuse me, 1 AV.
Excuse
me, 1. Call me 10 for duty, please.
10-8 for duty at midnight on July 1st, and now you are almost 2 months into office, and you have been talking about this change of culture at the Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But this morning you had a prayer breakfast. How did that go?
Oh, it was great. It was a packed house. I don't know if they came for prayer or to hear me or to eat breakfast, but regardless, regardless, they came out, and it was good. We got a good message and a good meal, and it was a great way to start the day.
And this is something you're going to be doing monthly?
It is, yes. And so we have it on, what are we on the second Wednesday, I think, of every month. We have a prayer breakfast in different churches around Tangipahoa Hope Parish. They volunteer to host it, and we have a team that comes in and cooks breakfast. And that home church, or host church rather, they prepare the message, and there's a music portion to it. And look, and we do just that, the prayer breakfast. We take prayer requests both within the department and in the community, and lift them up.
And these breakfasts, regardless of where you're holding them, are open to everybody, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, it's put out to the public, put on our social media page. There's invites that are sent out by the church and by the sheriff's office. And we do publicize it, and everyone's welcome.
You talked about your social media, and you've been very active on social media. And one of the campaigns is this hashtag Sheriff on Shift. And you've been actually out there responding. You know, I know you went 10-8, you active for service over the radio, but that wasn't just ceremonial. You actually get out there and respond to calls both in your police cruiser and in a boat?
Well, I made a point. We have a big parish. Ceremoniously at midnight on July 1 at 12:01, I went 10-8, which is on duty. My job is running the business of the sheriff's office, so I'm not out actively chasing down bad guys, but I'm out, whether it's checking on patrol shift or checking on detective, checking on our marine unit that we have headquarters down in Shack, and we're taking over the bodies of the
Sheriff, we're having a little trouble with our connection, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. We're going to reestablish our line with Sheriff Gerald Sticker and come back to hear more about his Sheriff on Shift, interacting with the rank and file throughout the Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office, and then get into our conversation about the change of culture at TPSO. Since he's taken office, there's been a series of firings, demotions, reassignments, and arrests of sheriff's deputies and parish employees. We're going to talk to him about all of these actions he and others have been taking in what appears to be a cleaning of the house. And why is this necessary? We'll continue our conversation with Sheriff Gerald Sticker in Tangipahoa Parish. Get him a better connection so you can hear what he has to say coming up after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Talking with the recently anointed sheriff of Tangipahoa Parish, Gerald Sticker. And Sheriff, we were talking about your Sheriff on Shift hashtag, and that you're getting out there with the rank and file, and you're showing up on calls, you're going out on patrols, and you're really participating in the law enforcement process.
No, absolutely. Before, I can make a decision on personnel, before I can make decisions that affect the culture of the organization, I have to know what's going on within the rank and file, what's going on the street, on the waterways, and talk to, people in our dispatch section, talk to, jailers that are working in corrections, talking to the detectives. And, we have a pretty good staff of employees. We got a lot of great men and women here at the Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office. And we have a lot of good leaders. We have a very good administration. Some of those are tenured people that are left over from the old administration. but also brought in a host of, new leaders that have a fresh set of eyes and a fresh perspective. And just it's been great over the past 2 months just to watch the two, working together for the betterment of this organization. That's the directive I've given them. And, I refuse to politicize anybody's job. But where we come at odds is when they don't do their job. Once we set up solid rules and implement policy, people are expected to be held accountable. And that's just the message that in this first 2 months, most 90% of the people are listening and on board, but it's that very small minority of people that I have to, unfortunately, make a believer out of them.
Well, you talk a lot about a change of culture in your news releases, in your interviews, in your posts on social media. And since you've taken over as sheriff, there have been a series of firings, demotions, reassignments, and arrests of sheriff's deputies and a parish employee, some of which have been publicized and covered by news media, and you've put out news releases, others that have been not, that have not been, after you take over for an administration that was there 20 years prior to your election as sheriff. What is your message with this change of culture and all these firings, demotions, reassignments, and arrests of sheriff's deputies?
Look, my message is very simple. I was elected to run a professional law enforcement organization. And just like any business, the sheriff's office is our business. And our clients, our customers, if you will, are the citizens of this parish. And so my job as sheriff is to run a professional organization that can deliver professional services to the citizens. And when we have employees that inhibit our ability to do that, then, they are reassigned. It's not all, suspensions and demotions and terminations. Sometimes discipline is more training. And so, we have a big emphasis on training, but after, the rules are set and we're trying to implement training to try to, get people to do the right things, then after we've done our part and they still operate contrary to that, then, then yes, that's when we step in and it gets punitive with demotions, with terminations. And unfortunately, I don't really consider it a bragging point at all. I take it very seriously. Arresting anyone, especially, an employee or, a parish worker that doesn't necessarily work for us, but, it's a heavy lift, but, there again, my goal is to impact the culture of this organization. It all starts with leadership by setting the example. And that's why I'm out like I am, at the public event, talking to citizens, talking to employees, so that I can make the best educated decision for the betterment of this organization at TPSO.
And I've seen news releases and posts on your social media, too, praising deputies for a job well done, noting when citizens contact you to let you know about a wonderful interaction they've had with a sheriff's deputy. But you use the word change of culture. Does the culture need that much changing?
Well, I think it's, it does. And so when I talk to, different groups and they ask me that, I say, look, such as the budget, for example, I'm not going to say that the previous administration done it wrong and I'm going to do it right. And the previous boss, his ideas were not good ideas and mine were better. The biased opinion is coming from me, but it's different. And so they elected me for change. The people wanted more transparency. That's why we stepped up our game on, social media and on press releases and to engage the public, to engage the media. And, even under the past administration, day in and day out, the men and women of this agency did a good job. But they did, in my opinion, they did a bad job of telling the people they did a good job, if that makes any sense. We all report when the plane crashes, but we land so many more planes than we're crashing. And so we don't, we praise employees and we recognize the efforts of our employees when they're doing good. And the public needs to see that, because if all they see is doom and gloom, then that's all they're going to think that we're putting out. And TPSO is so much more than disciplinary issues. It's just, it's 280 employees thereabouts. And, you know, you just, in any organization of that size, you're going to have issues. You just have to lead it. You know, you lead people and you manage resources. And that's what we're striving to in this first 2 months, is to get our hands wrapped around the business end of the sheriff's office, but also assess the operations and make sure that we are running it efficiently and as productively as we can.
You talked about this being a journey, about being transformative, of being a change of culture. What is your timeline, do you think, to a point where you'll have the additional training that you want for all of your deputies and employees, to where you'll have the message clearly out there that there's a new sheriff in town, to coin a phrase, or to use a well-coined phrase?
Sure.
How long do you see this process, and should we expect to see more arrests, firings, demotions, and reassignments in the meantime?
The change is going to be perpetual. Leadership, you should be steadily progressing and steadily moving forward. And so I would say, you know, we're still in a transition period here, 2 months in. We have about 18 employees right now going through the state certification for corrections deputies. We have deputies that are in the post school for the road deputies for the law enforcement component. So training, that training is crucial when you hire somebody, because you have to certify them. Then when they come out of that, they have, I think it's 12 to 14 weeks of field training that they are working hand in hand with a supervisor or a tenured employee of the sheriff's office. And then it's ongoing, supervision and training, yearly training that we have to do. So I say, you know, we want to get to the point where we are in maintenance mode, I think is what the question you're asking me. And we're not in maintenance mode yet. And I really don't know how long it will be until we turn that curve. It may be, 6 months to a year, maybe beyond, because we're still in the infancy of a lot of the training initiatives that I'm trying to implement. And those are real world problems, because every time we take somebody out of their job to train them, the ones that are left behind to hold the line, so to speak, they're working shorthanded. And we already have a deficiency in employees. You know, everywhere, just in general, it's hard to find employees to work anywhere. And it's especially hard in an environment such as the jail, and even in law enforcement these days. And so we're battling those real world problems. And, we are about to implement a big recruiting operation where we go out and actively, more so than we're doing now, we put the advertisements out, but we really need to step our game up to go recruit individuals to come into this sheriff's office, properly screen them. And once we get them up and running with training, and then hopefully we'll get into that maintenance mode. But like I said, Lord knows, maybe a year to how long that may take.
You touched on a point I was going to ask you about. You mentioned recruiting. Are you seeing additional attrition now that you've kind of come in, you've sounded the bell, you've made the message clear, if you're not doing the job right, we're not going to tolerate that, and there will be consequences, whether that means we're going to retrain you, we're going to fire you, we're going to arrest you. Have you seen some people who have said, who maybe are longtime employees or not, that, ooh, I don't think I want to work for this guy now, either because maybe they have something they don't want you to know about, or just because this is not consistent with the way they were behaving in the past? Are a lot of people deciding to leave, other than those that you are requiring to leave?
No, I would say just the opposite. You know, my advice to anyone that may fall in that category, that would be my advice, is that they're welcome to go. But I've seen an uptick in the amount of applications that we have received. People that either were employed before and they want to come back, or they're excited. They see the change that we're trying to implement, and they want to be a part of something positive, whether it's as a reserve deputy, whether it's in a chaplaincy program that we're trying to get up and running in the department, in the jail. And so I haven't, there were, I think, don't quote me on the number, 13 or so retirements with the previous administration. As we were coming in July 1, they retired, you know, June 30th. But, you know, we haven't seen a mass exodus. There's a fresh energy around here. People are excited. And, you know, we just have some growing pains. And we are working through those. I'm excited. I'm blessed to have the opportunity to come to work. And we have a good network of resources. All these other sheriffs I've talked to, our neighboring sheriffs in St. Tammany and Livingston, even St. Bernard. A little bit later this afternoon, I will be in Terrebonne Parish going to visit that sheriff and look at his work release program and his jail to bend his ear. And so at all levels, myself included, we're working every day to improve ourselves so that there again we can run the business of the sheriff's office professionally.
Talking with Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff Gerald Sticker, on the job nearly 2 months now. You talked about the jail, and we have seen a lot of attention focused on the jail with some escapes, some questions about the security of the facility. We've seen deputies arrested for dealing drugs in the jail, for fighting with inmates in the jail. You talked about training. You are now offering, or requiring, I guess, post-3 correctional officer training for deputies assigned to the jail. Was that something that wasn't happening before? Were the deputies not getting proper training?
They were getting training. My observation within, the first month, and even it hit my radar, and, during the campaign, it's the old administration, if you will, their fought the same battle that I'm fighting. It's just the constant rapid turnover of employees. And the problem is there's an insufficient amount of money to operate this sheriff's office to pay employees the best wage possible where we can keep people. So what happens, and look, I'm under no illusions, well, as soon as we train people, a percentage of those, once they have that golden ticket in their hand, if you will, they're going to go off to another agency for better pay. And so the previous agency, they fought that. And that's a real-world problem that I'm going to have to fight as well. And so there again, on the business end of it, in the first 2 months, we were able to, give all the employees an across-the-board raise. It wasn't as much as they deserved, by no means. It wasn't as much as I'd want to give them, but it was as much as we could afford within the given restraints of the budget. And so we're looking at every vendor we deal with in the jail, whether it's phone services, food, commissary, every contract that we have, and every government entity, you have to do business with private entities, and we've renegotiated all those contracts, and we've saved money where we could, and we're doing everything that we can within the given restraints to be responsible with the people's money and to spend it as effectively as we can. But there again, it's real world problems. So there's training deficiencies, yes, and it will continue to be a perpetual problem for the foreseeable future, but it's a battle that we're up for, and we show up for work every day and every night, and we put our best foot forward.
And you're really involving the community in this, not just in your stops at diners and businesses throughout the parish, but there's this Reshaping Attitudes for Community Changes Law Enforcement Task Force. What is this Reshaping Attitudes for Community Changes Law Enforcement Task Force do?
Well, it's just a part of many organizations that we're trying to partner with around the parish and throughout the state. There's the Track Coalition and the Reentry Program. It's just there are a lot of civic organizations within the parish, and they all have their own mission to do the best job that they can to promote this parish of Tangipahoa, to the best of their ability. And so we come alongside them no matter what their mission is. And if there's a way that we can partner with them, see what the problems are, they're in the communities. And there's a lot of times in communities that they can reach people, they can get information that we can't, and we can better serve them. And it's just another conduit for us to communicate with the public. And like I say, whether it's reentry, looking at the jail, for instance, we've implemented the GED program through that. We also have a ladies' book club that we have going on in the jail. There's a reentry class that the inmates have to take, and our work release program, we're working to expand that as well. And there's a small training component right here on the grounds of Tangipahoa Parish Jail. There's some work release inmates that go to work on the river on some of these boats, and they're taught some deckhand skills. But it's a skill that pays well, and it prepares them when they do get out of jail finally, that they can land on their feet and hopefully not fall in back into that life of recidivism.
Sheriff Gerald Sticker, 2 months on the job in Tangipahoa Parish. Is there anything else that I haven't asked you about that you want to share with folks as you move through this process? You said it may take another year to change the culture at TPSO, and some people have described it as cleaning house. Others have described it as stepping up. You talked about how you have given raises across the board, new uniforms across the board. You're either getting new vehicles or at least re-decaling all the police vehicles, trying to improve morale that way. Is there anything else you want to share with folks?
No, Dave, I think we covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time this morning, but I would just encourage the public, this is your sheriff's office, and if you see something going on in your neighborhood, please report it. Our patrol deputies are on the job, they're out, they're visible. Our detectives are responsive. We're investigating cases to the best of our ability, but we need our community beside us and behind us, working through the crimes, working through all the community sensitive issues that we deal with. And so we're in this together, because the sheriff's office can't do it by itself. The citizens can't do it by themselves. These civic groups I mentioned earlier, it's going to take each and every one of us coming together, having some hard discussions at times, but every discussion, the result should be toward the common good of this parish and public safety. So I'll say one of the other big implementations I've had is an actual traffic unit. We had 3 motorcycles currently. We have a 4th one on order, and they will do just that. They will work crashes, vehicle wrecks, and they will deal with these rural communities and just enforce community sensitive issues, speeding, loud music, drag race and different things that we get. And hopefully that will free our criminal patrol deputies to get to calls on time and to put more attention to the criminal aspect of it. So there's a lot going on, and it's I went 10-8 on July 1 for duty, and I haven't clocked out yet, Dave, so it's 24/7 gig.
Yeah, no, and that's what you signed up for, and that's what you promised the people. And you mentioned community involvement, and I saw where the most recent arrest of a deputy, you said tips came from the public about this jailer that was allegedly introducing contraband into the jail, apparently bringing drugs into the jail, and you said that came from tips from the public. According to the news release, the deputy who was arrested or fired anyway for entering a home without a warrant and tackling a suspect, that video was posted to social media before we saw any reaction from the sheriff's office. So a lot of this is kind of grassroots, coming from the community up to let you know when there may be a problem.
Absolutely, and we're very encouraged by that, and that just tells us that the public has faith that the sheriff's office will handle business. And it's never a pleasant situation, but I didn't get called to do an easy job. I got called to make the hard decisions, and we do it. We don't take any of this very lightly, dealing with employees, dealing with misconduct, malfeasance, whatever the issue is. But it's necessary, and I make no apologies in enforcing the rules and enforcing the law.
Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff Gerald Sticker, thank you for spending some time with us here on WWL. You're always welcome anytime you want to communicate to your constituents.
Thank you, Dave. You have a great day.
You too. Gerald Sticker here on WWL, sounding the alarm, raising the flag, letting everyone know that there's a new sheriff in town, and things are changing. He calls it a change of culture, and he has been firing, arresting, demoting, reassigning, and retraining his employees, deputies, and, you know, not only the file, but the rank as well at the Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office. So we wanted to talk to him about that. Any thoughts, questions, comments? Feel free to share them on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870. We'll continue this conversation throughout the program. Coming up next, Mike Dettillier joins us to look at the Saints' 53-man roster and potential changes that may be coming before the Saints actually open the regular season and how he feels this team is shaping up. Are we ready to make some predictions about how the Saints will perform this season? Next hour, we'll talk with GNO Inc. about a series of topics, including one that really got my attention about the sweeps of the French Quarter for quality of life issues. We'll find out more about what that means and what it is they're cleaning up in the French Quarter, particularly ahead of the Super Bowl. And we'll talk about what does it take to bring Louisianians who have had to move elsewhere to make enough money to make ends meet, to better educate their children, or for whatever reason that they have left the state, to get them to come back. There's a new program and campaign that we're going to see a lot of Sunday during the LSU game, trying to get Louisianians to return to Louisiana if they've moved away. So all of that and more coming up next here on the Newell. 10:45, in for Newell Norman. Glad to be here with you on WWL. I'm glad that Mike Dettillier is joining us here as he gets ready for a talk show this afternoon at 4 o'clock, Sports Talk, here on WWL. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you, Dave.
What'd you think when you saw the final 50, well, I should not say final, when you saw the initial cuts for the to create a 53-man roster for the Saints by the deadline yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, there were a few surprises to me. You know, being around doing this for almost 40 years, you know, I hear it from agents all the time about they tell their young players, don't get too excited. Don't ask about trying to buy all kind of things, because if you're on the roster next week on the Tuesday, I feel much better. Because there are always those cases where that initial 53, oh, we want you here, we want you here, and then 2 days later, oh, man, we had a change of thought of where we may go with this, and you may not have that job. The six receivers, to me, jumped out. I would have bet that that wouldn't have happened before. And
what, that there would be six receivers on the roster?
Yeah, I would have thought it'd be five. And, you know, with Mason Tipton, he showed enough apparently in practice. We didn't see him in a game. He had a hamstring injury. That day will keep him around. And Bub Means, who was a draft choice from Pitt, they kept him around. He also struggled with some injuries. So your final two roster spots at wide receiver were both rookie receivers, one a draft choice, one a signed free agent. I didn't think they'd go that route. I thought it would probably be an extra offensive lineman kept at that point. And I still think that that's a maneuver that's going to happen, that one of those two guys will be on the practice squad and you'll see a veteran offensive lineman who can play center guard or a tackle, which I think it'll be both. You'll have two extra offensive linemen added to the lineup next week at this time. But that surprised me a little bit. The punting situation was close because of Lou Headley. He had some experience here. He early on had the lead, and then you saw Matt Haball make a run at this. And Matt Haball, I told this to Bobby first time I watched him punt, because I saw him punt at Vanderbilt. And then you watch him in the NFL, it's like every time he hits the ball, he's like trying to knock the air out of it. I mean, he really punches it, and he gets great, you know, distance with the punt. But a lot of times you got to be careful with that, that you don't outpunch your coverage.
Yeah, and in game one, we saw some big returns. Sorry about that, Mike. Because we saw some big returns off of his punts. Could that have been part of the reason that he is not going to be punting for the Saints now?
Oh, that was his issue, who they kept. He sort of tried to pop the air out of it. And I think you can always get better with that. But he's got leg talent. I mean, he can really hit the ball, and he's got good distance and good height with it. I think you saw with Headley, you know, he was Australian-type kicker. And it did work. They made it work last year, where the Saints were really one of the leaders in not giving up much yardage to punt returners. And that ball came out sort of funky. I mean, you know, you talk to returners,
sort
it was
of
like
funky.
It kind of was end over end. And, you know, okay, it's not normally what you're catching. So, you know, the rookie made his run late. And I give him full credit for it. And the other guy's Rico Payton. Because when we saw in the OTAs, I thought he had difficulties in finding the ball when it's thrown over his head. He was always good with the ball thrown in front of him. He could plant and drive real hard to the football. Where I think he made the improvement was his ability to track the football quicker and faster in flight. Because a lot of times we saw in OTAs how he was getting beat, they were throwing the ball over his shoulder. And I think he did a really good job. You saw he can help out on special teams. And in those first couple games, teams were picking on him. And it was almost like, and I've seen it with athletes, like, okay, keep throwing it at me, and I'm going to keep knocking it down. He was doing some jawing, you know, a little bit like, man, I got some confidence here. Keep throwing it, and I'm going to knock it down. And he earned that spot. I knew that was going to be a difficult deal if they cut him loose to think they could get him back on the practice squad. Somebody was going to pick him up. And to think that, you know, with Hayball, with Rico Payton, with Dallin Holker, you know, those guys, you know, were all free agent pickups. They weren't draft choices, along with Mason Tipton, who also was an undrafted free agent from Yale.
And they're keeping three quarterbacks. So we got six receivers and three quarterbacks. Are you at all surprised that Spencer Rattler and Jay Kaner are on the active roster?
Nope. That didn't surprise me.
Well, that hasn't been their MO over the years to have three quarterbacks, though, right?
Maybe hasn't, but it is this year. Every year is a little different. And the fact of the matter, what that's telling you is the usage of Taysom Hill is going to change. And, you know, that was always that deal is, keep two quarterbacks, Taysom will come in there. He'll be a
35. In for Newell Norman. Glad to be here with you on WWL. I'm glad that Mike Dettillier is joining us here as he gets ready for a talk show this afternoon at 4 o'clock, Sports Talk, here on WWL. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you, Dave.
What'd you think when you saw the final 50, well, I should not say final, when you saw the initial cuts for to create a 53-man roster for the Saints by the deadline yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, there were a few surprises to me. you know, being around doing this for almost 40 years, you know, I hear it from agents all the time about they tell their young players, don't get too excited. Don't ask about trying to buy all kind of things, because if you're on the roster next week on the Tuesday, I feel much better because there are always those cases where that initial 53, oh, we want you here, we want you here, and then 2 days later, oh, man, we had a change of thought of where we may go with this, and you may not have that job. The six receivers to me jumped out. I would have bet that wouldn't have happened before. And
what, that there would be six receivers on the roster?
Yeah, I would have thought it'd be five. And, you know, with Mason Tipton, he showed enough apparently in practice. We didn't see him in a game. He had a hamstring injury. That day will keep him around. And Bub Means, who was a draft choice from Pitt, they kept him around. He also struggled with some injuries. So your final two roster spots at wide receiver were both rookie receivers, one a draft choice, one a signed free agent. I didn't think they'd go that route. I thought it would probably be an extra offensive lineman kept at that point. And I still think that that's a maneuver that's going to happen, that one of those two guys will be on the practice squad and you'll see a veteran offensive lineman who can play center guard or a tackle, which I think it'll be both. You'll have two extra offensive linemen added to the lineup next week at this time. But that surprised me a little bit. The punting situation was close because of Lou Headley. He had some experience here. He early on had the lead. And then you saw Matt Hayball make a run at this. And Matt Hayball, I told this to Bobby first time I watched him punt, because I saw him punt at Vanderbilt. And then you watch him in the NFL, it's like every time he hits the ball, he's like trying to knock the air out of it. I mean, he really punches it, and he gets great, you know, distance with the punt. But a lot of times you got to be careful with that, that you don't outpunch your coverage.
Yeah, and in game one, he did. We saw some big returns. Sorry about that, Mike. Because we saw some big returns off of his punts. Could that have been part of the reason that he is not going to be punting for the Saints now?
Oh, that was his issue. Who they kept? He sort of tried to pop the air out of it, and I think you can always get better with that. But he's got leg talent. I mean, he can really hit the ball, and he's got good distance and good height with it. I think you saw with Headley, you know, he was Australian-type kicker. And it did work. They made it work last year where the Saints were really one of the leaders in not giving up much yardage to punt returners. And that ball came out sort of funky. I mean, you know, you talk to returners,
sort
it was
of
like
funky.
It kind of was end over end. And, you know, okay, it's not normally what you're catching. So, you know, the rookie made his run late, and I give him full credit for it. And the other guy's Rico Payton, because when we saw in the OTAs, I thought he had difficulties in finding the ball when it's thrown over his head. He was always good with the ball thrown in front of him. He could plant and drive real hard to the football. Where I think he made the improvement was his ability to track the football quicker and faster in flight. Because a lot of times we saw in OTAs how he was getting beat, they were throwing the ball over his shoulder. And I think he did a really good job. You saw he can help out on special teams. And in those first couple games, teams were picking on him. And it was almost like, and I've seen it with athletes, like, okay, keep throwing it at me, and I'm going to keep knocking it down. He was doing some jawing, you know, a little bit like, man, I got some confidence here. Keep throwing it, and I'm going to knock it down. And he earned that spot. I knew that was going to be a difficult deal if they cut him loose to think they could get him back on the practice squad. Somebody was going to pick him up. And to think that, you know, with Hayball, with Rico Payton, with Dallin Holker, you know, those guys, you know, were all free agent pickups. They weren't draft choices, along with Mason Tipton, who also was an undrafted free agent from Yale.
And they're keeping three quarterbacks. So we got six receivers and three quarterbacks. Are you at all surprised that Spencer Rattler and Jay Kaner are on the active roster?
Nope. That didn't surprise me.
Well, that hasn't been their MO over the years to have three quarterbacks, though, right?
Maybe hasn't, but it is this year. Every year is a little different. And the fact of the matter, what that's telling you is the usage of Taysom Hill is going to change. And, you know, that was always the deal is, keep two quarterbacks, Taysom will come in there. He'll be a third just in case. My thing today is, I'll make you a pretty strong argument. Your number two running back today behind Alvin Kamara is Taysom Hill. He's playing fullback. He's playing H-back. He's playing, they split him out as a receiver. Man, they're using him a lot of different ways. You can just stretch him so far.
So you don't think he'll be taking as many snaps under center then this season, huh?
I think he still will, because that power quarterback run is still really tough to defend.
Yeah, he is so good at that. They know it's coming, but they can't stop him.
Yeah, and it's funny. We did the pickleball tournament a couple weeks back, and I asked Drew Brees about it, and he was like, you know, why can't we live in a world where he comes in 12 times a game, and if you do it in a fast set, watch the eyes of the defenders. They're like, okay, what is he going to play? Because if you put him in there, in that lineup, you're not sure where he's going to end up.
You got him all off kilter because they don't know what's coming at him.
And he that's a really good point about if you can do it, especially in a fast set. that you don't have time to react to it. Because, again, some people's mentality as well, it's almost like high school or, you know, college. No, this is the pro level. It's a different world. And you putting in a guy that you're not sure where he's going to line up. Is he going to be at quarterback? Is he going to be at halfback, at fullback? They're going to put him as an H-back tight end, at wide receiver. And you have to adjust. All I want them to do is make one mental mistake, and I can take advantage of it.
Talking with Mike Dottiglia. When we get back, I want to ask him about this play.
Brings it out to the near side. 10, 15, 20, still on his feet. 30, 35, cuts it back towards the middle. Still on his feet, Nakua to the far side. 40, 35, he's got to beat an offensive lineman. Gets a block. Samson Nakua, 15, 5, jumps into the end zone. No!
A lot of people thought that return of the missed field goal would get Samson Nakua on the roster. It didn't. We'll find out what Dottiglia thinks about that up next. Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman, talking with Mike Dottiglia. Mike, we heard the Samson Nakua call before the break. A lot of people thought he was going to make this team because of just the amazing effort he put there. And also, Jacob Cabote also cut after he had a very strong performance in the last preseason game. Either of those cuts surprise you?
No, not really. You know, Samson, I think, will certainly get another opportunity to play in this league. Bob and I were joking about if he had his brother Puka's speed, he would have scored.
But, well, his family gave him hell about that on social media too.
He ran out of gas,
and they were just mean to him.
but man, listen, that's a competitive family with a lot of athletes. Not only the brothers, but also the cousins and people around them. And he gave a great effort. And the thing that jumps out to me about that, Dave, is the fact that you didn't panic. And a lot of times on a call that breaks down like that, you will see linemen grab someone, you get a holding penalty or a push in the back or whatever, and that's, you know, he gets brought back even though you might have scored. There wasn't a lot of panic, and it goes to show you can be critical of some areas of this team. One thing you can't be too critical of is special teams. How well coached they are with Darren Rizzi and Coach Phil Galliano, and what they do on special teams. They do a fantastic job there. And you're right, he sort of ran out of steam. And also I give credit, too, to the Titans for a non-panic moment.
Yeah, they kept up the pursuit, no doubt about it.
We saw Auburn, Alabama a few years back. It all broke down. Auburn ended up winning the game on the final play on a missed field goal and a score. So it didn't surprise me he didn't make the team. He'll get another opportunity. It was a great play. It's kind of a Seinfeld moment for the Saints.
Yeah.
All that excitement, and it ends up not being a score.
Have you made a season prediction yet, Mike?
Yes, I have.
What is it?
8 wins, 9 losses.
Ooh, all right. That doesn't get him into the playoffs this year, I don't think, does it?
No, it doesn't.
All right, Mike. We'll listen for you at 4 o'clock this afternoon on Sports Talk. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.